Hall of Fame pitcher, former Atlanta Brave, and now analyst for Fox Sports, John Smoltz, joining us once again on the show. It's good to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me.
Smoltz, you're a guy that's been a part of a lot of these series where there's so much on the line, and obviously this is basically a playoff series before the playoffs start, but what kind of mindset did the Braves have to go into this series to honestly not press too much, but get the best out of them?
Well, I think this is one of those games you have in a regular season that if you left spring training and you told everybody what your roster was going to go through, you would take it. You wish it was the other way. You wish you had a two-game lead. But the reality of a game like this is you have to win it. And, you know, you can't pitch perfect, but what you have to do is pitch as if this is, you know, a game seven. And the reason I say that is because the teeter-totter effect of this game pretty much is drastic, right? Like, you win this game, you're one game back. You lose the game, and now you're really at a point where you can't afford to lose another game the rest of the season. So mathematically, you're not going to be out of it if you lose this game. But boy, oh boy, it sure puts you way behind the eight ball. So, you know, I used to love these games. Some people hate them because there's no room for error. You got a young man on the mound that is going to be such a dynamic pitcher for quite some time as long as he stays healthy. And this moment probably is not too big for him. I've watched him now pitch, and I've been so impressed with him and what he's done and how he's done it. So I think right man, you know, for the Braves, but they're going up against a really, really hot team.
John, you talked about Schwellenbach, and he's shown up, like, really big against some of the NL's best teams. What will it take for him to get it done tonight? What do you want to see from him?
Well, the biggest thing is, the Mets have shown the ability to big strike kind of power doubles and homers. You just got to – I know it seems simple, but you got to keep the traffic off the bases. If you give up solo home runs, you give up solo home runs. And, you know, I used to live and I still maintain that's the best formula. If three solo home runs beat you, there's nothing you can do about it. But what you want to do is stay away from that big inning that puts your offense really in a bad place. Look, baseball's easier to play when you don't have to rally from a lot of runs. If you're in the game, that allows Brian Snitker to use every asset that he has to keep that game, like I said, a game seven type approach. And that's what they're in up against right now. Luckily they're at home, but you know, the bad news is they're two games back.
You want to talk about big moments, John. Chris Sale, and I've actually heard Chris Sale compared to you in a lot of ways when you rise to occasion in these big moments. You just mentioned the fact that these games where you always love these kind of games. Now, look, when you go to last start for Chris Sale, his fastball is kind of dipping below 90 miles an hour. I think you get to the end of the year, and obviously he's the Cy Young favorite at this point. But how do you balance that when you head into that matchup with Chris Sale tomorrow night? As good of a pitcher as he is, you obviously want them to go in and win the game, but he also has just recently shown a couple of signs of fatigue. You know, if you're Brian Snitker, what's the mindset with Chris Sale on the bump tomorrow?
Well, the good news about Chris Sale, he knows how to pitch. So despite whatever his fastball is, his angles of delivery and the way that he throws off speed creates an illusion that he doesn't have to throw 96. But I think the biggest thing that Chris will have working for him is adrenaline. And the adrenaline can also work against a traditional hard-throwing pitcher that doesn't really know how to pitch. And we see that happen when young men know how to throw a baseball 98, but then the command and the adrenaline don't work. I don't think that's the case for Chris Sale. And at this point in the season, you don't really pay attention to the fatigue. That's the one game that allows you to kind of go out there and you know that's your last start. And then you're hoping that you get a postseason start. So it really is one of those rare moments when you get to the end of the year and you know this is it. And you basically leave everything you have on that game and you see what happens.
Smoltz, I think Marcell Ozuna has been the best player on the Braves all year, but Matt Olson has been through some huge struggles through the season. It just felt like at times he felt lost at the plate, but here we are. We're September. He's playing his best baseball, and when we get done with the year, he's probably going to have yet another 30 home run, 100 RBI season. Crazy. It's going to look kind of like a back of the baseball card type year, but he's struggled tremendously. How has he gotten through this season and now being able to play his best baseball?
Well, last year, when you have an offense like that and the pressure's on the pitcher, everybody benefits. And when you have holes in your lineup to which you don't have, you just don't have the fear factor of certain components in your lineup, it takes out some of the strengths of, let's just say, Matt Olson or the length of the lineup. And I think you get pitched differently. You can go into a funk mechanically. And I think for Matt Olson, he historically has been a very streaky hitter. And when he goes on a hot streak, he can carry a ball club. And this is the issue when you have an Acuna hurt, Riley, all the different components that people forget that when a pitcher is pitching to a lineup card and they see certain things are gone, it's way easier to pitch. And, you know, right now the timing could be great if he continues to be that catalyst to carry the ball club, because Ozuna has done that all year. It's been amazing. And if it weren't for a historic kind of run out of Ohtani, and I think Ozuna would be right there in the MVP.
Hanging out with John Smoltz, former Brave. John, now, this is a rivalry series, right? I mean, the Mets and the Braves go back a long time. There's been a lot of, kind of chapters to this rivalry, although I think it has taken a little bit of a backseat to the Phillies and the Braves here recently. But any memories you have of facing off with the Mets and just how emotional some of these games can be?
Well, you know, rivalries are only as good as the two teams being good, right? And certainly there were some periods where we faced the Mets in the playoffs and for the most part, we had the run of the division. And I think right now, over the last couple of years, so much expected of the Mets. We know what happened last year and the year before. And all of a sudden, the Mets had turned around a very subpar year into kind of a historic run for them starting August 1st. They've been the best baseball team in the big. So give them credit. I mean, they were... When you look at the first 2 months, they were nowhere to be found, and the Braves were still in a position of holding down that wild card for most of the year and typically got chased down by the Mets. So the rivalries in baseball, you hope, continue because it's good for divisions. It's good for division races. I mean, the rivalries with the Phillies, you think about the Phillies' first divisional win since 2011. So that just shows you what an incredible job the Atlanta Braves have done over the last 6 or 7 years. So the future of the NL East is in really, really good hands because the future of those three teams seemed to be good for a while.
John, you liken tonight's matchup to being like a game seven, and you've obviously played in a tremendous, huge, significant games. What does it feel like to have a game like this at home?
Well, that's the best part. I say to people all the time, when you have the roar of the crowd on your side, you got to ride it, but you can't let that roar take you to places that get outside of your mechanics, right? You can know that when the roar's happening, good things are happening. On the flip side, you've got to, if you're on the road, you want to keep it to a dull roar. And so you use the roar one way or the other to your advantage. And in games like this, I would anticipate, you know, the Atlanta Braves crowd knows what this game means. So it should be an electric environment. And that is good for a player if he doesn't get too excited and allow himself to get outside of himself. And that's easier said than done, but the Braves have a lot of players who have been there, done that. That's where experience helps. And when you're going through it for the first time, you tell yourself you're ready for it, but then there's that out-of-body experience that you got to calm yourself down. It's all about the heartbeat. And if you have a slow heartbeat during these moments, that's when players can flourish.
Well, you must have had a slow heartbeat in Game 7 of that 91 World Series.
Dude,
where
I was thinking the same
I mean,
thing.
That was probably the greatest pitcher's duel in the history of Game 7s, John. I mean, how slow was your heart that night?
You know, I tell people all the time, this is not a guaranteed formula, but if you don't want to be in that moment for the longest time in your life as a child or growing up, then you're not going to perform in that moment. But it doesn't guarantee that the want-to means it's going to be the execution. And I just think that my simplest formula, and I tell people all the time, is I just wasn't afraid to fail. And that's not where a lot of people live, because they don't want to be exposed. And I was not afraid of the moment. And the moment, to me, when you talk about pressure, somebody tells you that this is the last game you'll ever pitch. Now, that's pressure. But as far as I knew, that wasn't going to be the last game I was going to pitch. And this is something that I wanted to do ever since I was 7 years old. And I'll just tell you, that's what I miss most right now. I love competition. I love competing. But I get a chance to sit in the seat now and call these games and get to kind of see these guys and their performances under some extreme circumstances. And it's still a lot of fun, even though I can't be out there doing it.
I got a hypothetical for you, because it's just something that runs through my mind. I think Shohei Ohtani is having one of the greatest years as a baseball player ever. He's obviously one of the better hitters in baseball. I need 2002, 2003, Thunderstruck's playing, John Smoltz is running out of the bullpen at Turner Field, and Shohei Ohtani is at the plate, and you've got to get him out to win the game. How are you going to attack a hitter like that?
Well, depending on if there's anybody on base or not, I'm gonna prey on his aggressiveness. He's an extremely gifted hitter, but he's gonna have to hit one of my splits or a slider back foot. And then, you know, there are areas to get him out. You just have to be very precise. You've got to expand the zone up, but you've got to get him to reach for something. If you do not make those areas enticing for him, he can take and wait for a mistake. And his bat and his power are electric, and I think it's no different than a Barry Bonds, where Barry Bonds had a coffee can strike zone, and you just could not miss on Barry Bonds because he wasn't going to expand the zone. The one thing that's unique about Ohtani is he will expand the zone, but then here's the problem. If you think you can pitch around him and he gets on first, then he's going to create pressure on the bases. So the early Barry Bonds did the same thing. He ran. We see this with Ohtani, and I think this is the last year we're going to see this kind of running, though, which is interesting and why he's piling up so many stolen bases. Because once he pitches next year, he's not going to be running at this rate.
That was the most insightful answer to a hypothetical situation
I
have ever heard. We would have loved to have seen that matchup.
Yes,
John, thank
yes,
you so
Lord.
Much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, and it's going to be an exciting week.